connected over these past 7-8 yes. years in fellowship, and you've been here at our church several times. We honor you. We love you. You come as really to us a father in the faith, apostle in the faith. We receive you and Mama Dorn, and we let's bless them and just receive them this morning. We welcome you.
Wow, what an introduction. Good one. It's wonderful to see you. Praise God. It's good to be here and see nearly a full auditorium. And so if you've been here, if you haven't ever met us, we really don't, that's not that important. What's important is you met him. Amen. Because he's the key to everything. We used to sing an old chorus, he's my everything. And that's who Jesus is. Well, took note of something this morning. Now, this is something, I'm old. I've been preaching for 67 years. That's a long time. And I've never noticed this. Any church I've been in, there's a young lady sitting on the end of the front row that's so important that it takes 8 young men to to support her. Now, Hannah, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not quite scriptural because the Bible says that in the last days where we're living, that 7 women shall take hold of 1 man. That's scriptural. Well, they've kind of reversed it and added one for good measure. But we're glad you guys are in the front row. Amen. And so we appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My big, tall grandson is sitting right behind you, and my beautiful granddaughter. But it is a joy to be here. And before we share the word that the Lord put on my heart, don't want to keep you. Well, what time do we usually keep them until? Now, you're used to chicken. I mean, Zender's chicken is famous in Michigan at Frankenmuth. And I preached long enough to know this. I can smell when chicken is burnt. So if you put the chicken on the stove before he comes, I hope that preacher quits by noon. Don't worry about me, because I take a deep breath at 12 o'clock and say, uh-oh, it's time to quit. So relax, be happy, be blessed, and be a part of the fellowship here at Weatherford, because we're so glad. Thank you for the invitation. At our age now, I'll be 86 in just another month, and at our age now, we don't travel quite as much as we did. Though we still get to the nations once in a while, and 2 weeks from today I'll be preaching down in Trinidad, just off the coast of Venezuela, South America, and ministering there to a great church that we helped to raise up so many, many years ago. Started with a handful of people in a rented building, and now we have 2 Sunday morning services with 800 to 900 people in each service, and just how God is good to bring them all in. And that is basically a Hindu nation. They have a Hindu government. And it's Muslim and Hindu, but thank God the name of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen, is being exalted in Trinidad and Tobago. So we praise God for that. I have a copy of something that is not of too much interest to some churches, but it would be to this church. It's almost falling apart because it dates back to 1944. Now, quick, do your math. Come on. Any of you boys, math students? Quick, do your math. 1944, how many years ago is that? 71. Who said it first? We got some. You got to be a math teacher. No. You're an accountant. Okay. Oh, no wonder. She was born. She knows. I don't know. Maybe is. Pastor, is that cheating? This was printed back there. It's called the Foursquare Magazine. And it's an actual original copy. And so the cover's about to fall off, but it's in color. The reason I brought it, because something I'm going to share this morning. And that is this. In the inside page, I'm going to lay it on the altar later so you can come and look at it, but be very careful with it because it's actually the original, and I don't know how many there are. A picture of the front wall of the Great Angelus Temple in Los Angeles, California. And in the middle of that front wall is a great banner that says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Word for word that you have on the front wall of this auditorium. And in front of that great banner lies the body in state. And I want you to come and look at it with the great choir. And oh my, it's amazing. When I saw that picture, I said, isn't it wonderful that Jesus never changes? Times change. People change. Churches change. We change. Governments change. Some of you might say, thank God for that. We need change. But anyhow, I'm not into politics, but I'm going to lay that here so you can take a look at it close up and see about it a little bit. I want to tell you a little story before we open the blessed book, the Word of the Living God, that we have preached all of these years. Jesus, we thank you. Your presence is in the house. We thank you that we are your children, bought with the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. We thank you that behind this cross where I stand this morning is the place of safety and security. Because the Apostle Paul said in the Word that we glory in nothing save the cross of Jesus Christ. So we have nothing to glory in. Our works, everything, doesn't mean a thing. But what really means something, that Jesus Christ is the same. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I was about 16 years old. Any of you guys 16 on the front row? Maybe you're all older than that. A couple of you. Well, as is obvious, sitting where they're sitting, at 16 years of age, I was in high school, and most 16-year-old boys do get attractive to pretty young ladies. And there was an unusual girl in our high school in Michigan, where we grew up, because she just seemed different than everybody else. She had a kind of a radiant glow around her face. She had beautiful, long, golden hair about halfway down her back. And she always dressed just a little different than the other girls. I don't mean bizarre or strange. It's just that she liked to wear white. And most of the time, and one day, boldly enough, I said, "Hi, what's your name?" And she told me. And I said, "Why do you look different than some of the other young people or some of the girls? Or why do you dress? It isn't that you dress so differently. It's just that you always seem to wear white. And most of them wear colors and this and that." You know what she answered me? She said, "I have been called of God." Simple answer. Jim preached to me. She didn't say anything. I was like them in a religious church. "I've been called of God." Wow, 16 years old, called of God. I thought, my goodness, that's kind of almost far out. You know, girl in school, and she told me I'm called of God. And she says, "As a matter of fact, I'm preaching tomorrow night at our church, and I'd like to have you come and hear me." I said, "Well," I said, "I'll see. It's Friday night," and I said, "That's movie night," and I usually go to the movies on Friday night, you know, to the theater, cinema, but I don't think they call them movies anymore. Maybe they still do. And so I said, "I'll think about it." I didn't think about it. I passed that off. I've been called of God. So the next night, I was heading for the movies. I was 16 years old, so I had my driver's license, and my daddy let me use his Ford, old 37. If I had it now, I'd be happy as a lark. But I used the 37 Ford and headed for the movies, and she had told me where this so-called little white church was. And I headed for there, and when I got to the corner that turned to go to this little white church on the other side of the Grand River, my car automatically turned there. And I thought, why is the car turning here? I'm the driver. Sometimes, let me tell you something, you young people, especially throughout the audience and all of you, there's times in life when we think we're the driver, but we are not the driver. God has a mysterious way to turn the wheel that steers our life. And that night, he turned the wheel that steered my life, and I crossed the old bridge over the Grand River in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and turned in front of that little white church, a little cross on the front, and I walked in the door, and I sat in the back. And there on that platform with a beautiful flowing white dress and a tambourine in her hand stood a young lady that was in my school, my same age, named Amy. Aimee. I asked her afterwards, I said, how come you have the name Amy? I don't think I've heard that name. She says, I've been named after the woman who prophesied over me and called me out, Sister Amy. That young lady preached, gave an altar call. The musicians played on that old piano, and I'm talking back in the day. Now I'm almost 86 and I was 16, so do your math. And she said, won't you come to Jesus? And something tugged at my heart, because in our religious church, and I'm not criticizing the doctor, I'm just simply saying we weren't used to altar calls. It was kind of unknown to us. And she kept on, and something tugged at my heart, and I started to move slightly out of my seat, and I thought, this is crazy. You go to church every Sunday. You went to catechism. You took your first communion. You did this and you did that. And you had 3 drops of water in your head about that when you were a baby. And I mean, you don't need to. What's wrong with you, Bob Dorn? And I held myself in my seat. And I walked out that night. I never saw Amy again. She went on to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, because she was named after the mighty woman of God who founded this church. I know your pastors came basically to an empty building with a message on their hearts, kind of the reverse of what most do. Most of them have 6 or 7 people like we did when we started our church in Michigan, in a house. And when we were looking for a building, you had a building looking for 6 or 7 people. Yeah, that's kind of how it started, really. I never saw that girl again, but I'll tell you what, she made an impact on my life that changed my life. There's an old hymn of the church that says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. That was my first contact with this name, Amy. Any of you history students? Do we have any history students in the house, or did you all hate? Oh, I love you. Iffy. I got one. All I need is one. Because I'm a historian. That was my major and everything, and I still love history. Very briefly, back in 1890, this is a little history lesson, but not really. It's a spiritual lesson. Baby girl was born into the Kennedy family up in Ingersoll, Ontario, Canada. That's in Lower Ontario. Been in Ingersoll. I've been to that place. And she grew up in a traditional church. But when she was a teenager, she started listening to agnostics and atheists who try to disprove that there was a God. And sometimes teenagers are easily swayed, maybe especially by someone in school who will say, how do you know there's a God? What can you prove there's a God? I mean, God is some figment of somebody's imagination. And she drifted away from the early teachings of her church. And then one day, a young preacher came to town. Now, that was unusual. If you've ever been in Ingersoll, Ontario, Canada, it's not that much of a place. And so it was kind of unusual for a visiting evangelist to pass through, because besides, we had the first church of the Frigidaire here, and we had the second church of not too much over here. But for a preacher to come. And he was a preacher that happened to have come from a place, if any of you ever heard the name, called Azusa Street. And he had traveled across America and came to Ingersoll, Ontario, Canada, and started meetings in the building. And Amy's mama said, Mother Kennedy, she said, I want to go visit those meetings. There's something about it. I feel attracted. I'm going to go see those meetings. And she went, and her daughter came along. And they were touched in their hearts, and the Holy Spirit moved upon them. And a night or two later, they gave their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ in a very personal fashion. But that preacher, Pastor Kirk, preached something besides just Jesus comes and gets saved and that's it. He preached, when you're saved, you need to follow him in water baptism. Then he said, water baptism? I was baptized with 3 drops. Yes, I know. But he said something a little different, and he showed it from the scriptures. And then he preached an experience called the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then he preached that there was a day coming somewhere, somehow, sometime, when Jesus Christ was literally coming back. Then he preached, if you're sick and suffering, you can be healed. Wow, this is a gospel. That little Amy, teenager, and her mama, Mother Kennedy, had never heard in their lives. So the time came and the preacher left and the preacher came back. When the preacher came back, he had fallen in love with that beautiful long-haired girl that sat in the audience by the name of Amy Kennedy. And he asked her to marry him, and they got married. And immediately they went off to China as missionaries. Young couple, vibrant and ready to tell the world that Jesus saves. Oh, I love young people like that. I like these teams that go out, you know, and I run into them everywhere. Sometimes they're connected with a group called YWAM, and we were up in the mountains of the Philippines. I thought, man, we're far from civilization, way up there. And here come a whole group of, well, most of them were white. There was a couple of black ones in the crowd, but they stood out from among the Filipinos because they're all brown skin. And I said, hey, what you guys doing here? He said, we're YWAMers. I said, how did you get so far in these mountains? They said, oh, we go everywhere. Well, we had church with them. And I like that kind of experience. So this young couple went to China. They hadn't been there very long. Not very long at all. When Robert, the husband, contracted a terrible, serious disease without medical help back in the day, died and left his young wife 8 months pregnant with a little baby girl in her belly. Have anybody ever been to Hong Kong in your travels? Oh, a couple of you. You probably never visited Happy Valley Cemetery, because why would you go to a foreign land, and Hong Kong especially, the shopper's paradise of the world, and visit a cemetery? But Happy Valley Cemetery happens to contain the graves of some very notable people, some missionaries that have made impact upon the whole world. And there, in the cold, kneeling beside a little homemade cross, knelt this young girl from Ingersoll, Ontario, Canada, pregnant with her first child, a baby girl born a month later. And she wept tears. And she said, what can I do now, Robert? My life is over. She said, oh God, we came here to win souls. We came here to preach Jesus Christ crucified. We came here to share the gospel. What can I do now? A poor pregnant girl and my husband lies in the grave. And on that simple cross, simply says, here lies Robert Simple. He loved Jesus in his life. He's with him in his death. She came back to Canada, tried to get a job, and God kept saying, my hand's on you, my hand's on you, my hand's on you, my hand's upon you. And thus began the journey of the founder of the Four Square Church, Sister Amy Simple McPherson. Trial, test, grief, where am I going to go from here? But oh, hallelujah, I want you to know something, that when you're a winner in Jesus, you're not going to give up. Come on. Hallelujah. Some of you young people, listen, there may be things in life that will come to turn against you. And here's a young lady pregnant with her first child. But she said, I've got to go on. And she went on to become the greatest woman preacher in the 20th century, bar none. There have been great men and women preachers, but she was the greatest woman preacher of the 20th century. Why do I say all that? I say that to encourage you this morning, especially young people that are here. Hallelujah. Don't let circumstances and things that happen and tragedies and, well, I was doing good until, but this happened. Nobody had any more right, Pastor Kirk, to quit than she did. But she wasn't a quitter. God had put Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, so deep in her heart, she said, I'm not turning back and I'm not giving up. And if I don't challenge you for anything else this morning as we get ready to open the book, that's this. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Hallelujah. There's been times when we've been tempted to do it. But after all these years of preaching Jesus Christ, hallelujah, I'm glad that we never turned back. Mom and I sit sometimes now in our age and we talk about it and we say, we could have turned back here. The odds were against us here. This thing didn't go too good here. But hallelujah, we didn't give up and we didn't turn back. And we're still lifting up the bloodstained banner of the cross of Jesus Christ. Come on, give him glory. Hallelujah. And a few moments ago in some of the pictures that were up here, there was a part of the cornerstone of the great temple in Los Angeles, California, on Echo Park on Sunset Boulevard. And on January 1st of 1923, for a woman that everything looked at was turned against her, opened the gates of that temple, and it became America's first megachurch. 1923. Think back there. You can't think back there. You can only go into history back there. But in 1923, a mega church that had 25,000 people a week coming. Come on. Very few motor cars, street cars. Street car came on Sunset Boulevard, came up to where the temple was, 25,000 people a week in a mega church back in that day. Think of it. Total miracle. But that's how our God is. He's a miracle working God. God began to show her something in the scriptures. Now, she never heard of something called Foursquare. But as she was studying the Word of God, and if you have your Bibles and want to turn, you're welcome to. I'm reading from King James because I'm too old to switch to another version. But I do have about 12 of them in my bookcase, and I do refer to them. But this woman of God, God directed her to the prophecy of Ezekiel, which is also repeated almost verbatim, to the beloved John on the Isle of Patmos. And he turned her attention to the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, where we're going to read these words. Because 71 years ago, as our sister told us, the same woman of God who was called, went to China, opened the doors of the temple, preached her last sermon in Oakland, California. She flew into Oakland that afternoon, believe it or not, on United Airlines, the same ones we flew up here to Texas from our home in Florida. She flew in United Airlines from Los Angeles up to Oakland, California. Got a little rest in the afternoon, and God spoke to her and said, "What did I give you to preach way back then?" And she said, "You turned me to the book of Ezekiel." He said, "Preach it again tonight." And unknown to her, the last sermon she ever preached was the same as the first one she preached. Isn't that amazing? God's ways are mysterious and past finding out. Here we are in Ezekiel chapter number 1. And I looked and behold, verse number 4. A whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Now what color is amber? That's that light in between the red one and the green one. It's the one that you young guys would like to dash through and make it before it changes color. Not only you, but me too. They have red light cameras in our town, unfortunately, and I did try it one day, and unfortunately, it flashed. You can't win when the color is amber. You might as well give in to it. And this is what it says in the scripture. I saw the color of amber in the midst of the fire, and also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. When Jesus was taken before Pilate, Do you remember, if you've been in Israel at all and walked the Via Dolorosa? There's a church there, and there's written in Latin over it these words, "Behold the man." These are the words of Pilate when Jesus stood before him at the time of his crucifixion. And Pilate said, "I can't find any fault." His wife warned him. He said, "I had a dream. They better not mess with this guy. Your arms are too short to box with God, Pilate. Don't mess around with him. Come on." And he said, "I don't find any fault in him." But they shouted, "Crucify him." And the words he used were these, "Behold the man." If I would give you a title this morning, that would be the title, "Behold the man." What man? The man Christ Jesus. And he said, "As I looked at the appearance of these living creatures, their appearance was that of a man." In other words, not some strange, grotesque stuff that you see. Some of these, even these ads on TV drive you nuts. Geico's got one with a sea monster coming out of a pond in a golf course. I thought, oh my land, how far can they stretch something? Have you seen that one? That's pathetic. You don't save 15% either. But, oh, I'm sorry. There's a Geico representative here. Forgive me, brother. I didn't mean to insult you. What am I saying to you? The appearance of a man. Listen, everybody thinks, oh, Jesus is some kind of a spooky character. He went to heaven and white this and white robes and angels surrounding his throne and all kinds. No. When he came down here from heaven's glory, left those ivory palaces, left the throne of eternity, hallelujah. Listen, beloved, he became a man. Behold the man. Yes, he was God in human flesh, but he was a man. How else could he suffer like we suffered? Tempted in all points as we are tempted, and yet with what? Without sin. Well, I've been tempted, and it's just impossible to stand against sin. I'm a young person, and I just can't withstand sin. Nobody can. Jesus did. Shaping our lives by his blessed example. That's what we're to do. Oh, you say, that's not so easy. Well, it's not as hard as you think. Just try a little bit. The likeness of a man. In verse 6, "And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings." Four faces, that's interesting. "And their feet were straight feet." Come on, walking a straight path. "And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot." Anybody know why the sole of a calf's foot? Because the calf was a clean beast. God had spoken to Israel and said, "You're not to eat of any food that's from an unclean beast that does not have a cloven hoof." Hear me? Cloven hoof. That's how they knew from clean and unclean. And so this prophet Ezekiel, of course, "I'm a Jew of Jews." All right, then you know. Has to have a calf's foot. "They sparkled like the color of burnished brass. They had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. They had four, and they had faces in their wings." And it goes on and on and on. Now here we are in verse 10. This is the first and the final message of the founder of this church. Here's what she preached. "As for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man." Behold the man, Christ Jesus. He loved us enough that he became like us. He became like one of us. He became like the creation that he gave in the first place, because the Bible said in John 1:1 that outside of him there was not anything made that was made. So with the eternal Godhead, he created, and now he became his own creation. Why? So he could let us know it's possible. Let us know that we could walk in purity. Let us know that we could live holy. Let us know that, hallelujah, well, we might like my pastor, that we have a pastor where we moved into the new area, and I like him, but Monday nights, you know what he watches? Well, you know. Worldwide wrestling. I thought, oh my God, I was brought up to think that was a terrible sin to watch those wrestling. But he loves it. And he told the church, he said, "On Monday nights, that's when I become a man. I watch wrestling." I said, oh God. I thought I had a holy, sanctified pastor, and now he's watching wrestling. But Jesus was hungry, and he ate. He was sleepy, and he slept in the back of a ship. When the waves came up, and the disciples said, doesn't he care that we perish? Doesn't he even care about us? And they woke him up. He said, oh, guys, what's wrong with you? Oh, you of little faith. Peace be still. That was it. You see, Jesus was a man, but he was also God robed in human flesh. And the Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, that dwells in your heart through the Holy Spirit, the man Christ Jesus that is a part of your life when you profess to be a Christian, the man Christ Jesus also becomes the God Christ Jesus when you're in an emergency, when you're in a need. And I could tell you stories of Mom and I and our travels to over 60 nations of the world. Sometimes I said, oh God, if you don't help us, we're going to die. And we would have. But he did help us. Because the man who knew what we had to suffer, who knew the feelings of our infirmities, who could feel our pain, who could understand our temptations, who could know that guys like pretty girls, all of that kind of stuff. But he also became the God that says, peace be still. Calm down. Pain go away. I started suffering a terrible pain a year and a half ago. Don't know where it came from. Somebody says, probably a kidney stone. That's a very painful thing. I have no idea. And I suffered the pain on Friday afternoon, and Friday night it was bad, and Mama was sleeping, and I had to get up, and I laid on the living room floor and doubled up. Now, this isn't ancient history. And I said, oh, God, this pain is more than I can take. I doubled up, and by the next morning, about towards midday Saturday, I said, honey, I hate to give in. You know, you get to be an old fighter. I hate to give in, but you got to take me to the emergency. And she did. We went, hospital's only 2 miles away, and she took me to the emergency room, and of course, they insist on putting you in a wheelchair if you can walk and you're strong and everything else, but you got to be in a wheelchair. And so they wheeled me in and did all the information and gave you a little jar, you know what that's for, and that's about it. And 3 hours later, I'm sitting there doubled over and moaning in pain, and Mama Doran's going up to the counter. Isn't there a doctor to help him? Not really right now. We had an emergency and somebody's dying and they got to take care of them. Is he dying? I said, I don't know. He's moaning. And it was a little while later, and I said to her, I said, look, this is nonsense. Every time you go up, they say, well, this is maybe another hour. There's a doctor coming in that does this kind of stuff, and we don't know when he's coming, sometime today. And I said, take me home. I'd rather be in my living room with my Bible and pray and moan on the floor than to sit here in a wheelchair in the corner of a place and see all these bloody people coming and going, and I'm still sitting here after hours. So she took me back home. But we forgot to sign out. And so they thought we were still there, I guess. Because about a week later, I got a bill for $1,435.27 for helping me and curing me and taking care of all the problems and the blood test and the urine test and all kinds of tests, which I had zero tests. Even the bottle they didn't turn in. I had nothing. Wheelchair in, wheelchair out. I thought, wow. But something happened. The man, Christ Jesus. I'm talking about, behold the man. Sunday morning came and I'm in pain. She said, we can't go to church. I said, on Sunday morning, you can't keep a preacher out of church, even if he's not pastoring anymore. And truthfully, you shouldn't be able on Sunday morning to keep a born-again, spirit-filled Christian out of church, pastor. And so we went to church. I'm sitting there in pain. Our church sings kind of songs like you're singing. This morning, so for some reason, musicians started out a song they hadn't hardly ever sung for a long time. Oh, victory in Jesus. And they're playing that guitar and singing victory in Jesus. And the second verse, if anybody's old enough to remember, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. How he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal." And when I got to the words, "Come and heal," I'm sitting in the second row. My pastor's sitting across the aisle. I stepped across, honorable, asking permission. I said, "Pastor, I've been suffering. I didn't call you, didn't say nothing. But I said, God works mysterious ways with me. Can I dance?" Well, victory in Jesus, not maybe not kind of a dancing rhythm, I don't know. He said, "No." I'm going back home. "I'll dance with you." Because we had a lot of people there that morning, and some were brand new, and who's going to stand up and see somebody dancing in church? Oy vey. Don't mind my little... I saw the Jewish flag. And he took my arm, and we danced across. Pastor, we had a lot of room and quite a big altar space. And we danced across the front, and we got halfway back, and he let go and took the microphone, and something hit me. Oh, boy. You talk about losing dignity. You know who lost dignity when he danced? Do you remember the guy's name? Anybody know it? Thank you, David. You're good Bible students. The David dance hit me. In front of that congregation, I danced with all my might. Every ounce of pain left me. There was no more pain in my body. I danced it out through my feet, I think. People are looking, and Pastor, give me the mic. He said, "Papa, you better tell these people what you did. Some of them think you're crazy. Some of them wonder what happened. Some of them are old-timers, know what happened. Better tell us." And I told just briefly the story and how instantly Jesus healed me. The man, Christ Jesus. Behold the man. Behold the man. Behold the man. Hallelujah. Haven't had an ounce of trouble from that day to this. Glory to the Father and the Son, the whole Karabasha. Whew. Man, the anointing's good. So here we have the man, the face of the man Christ Jesus, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, beloved, listen, young and old alike, don't give up when bad things begin to happen, because, listen, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're his. You belong to him. The man, Christ Jesus. Behold the man. Who was the man? The man was our Savior. Jesus Christ, the first word, Savior. I love it. When God gave that, revelation to Sister Amy, I want you to turn over the word love is on the wall and look what it says. Jesus Christ, Savior. Behold the man. He wasn't God, as it were. Yes, he was. But what I mean is he felt the pain of Calvary. Oh, no, he was God. He hung up there as God. He didn't feel nothing. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? He suffered. He said, "I thirst." Blood flowed from his side, from his riven hands. Oh, no. Jesus Christ, the Savior. The first point that God showed her was that this image, this vision of this beast, of this living creature, hallelujah, represented none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in the four aspects, the four parts of his ministry. From hence came the word, four square. Oh, let's look on just for a minute. Take a deep breath. How many smell chicken burning? If you do, I'll send you out to take care of it. I'm going to keep preaching. The face of a man. What's the second one? The face of a lion. The face, hear me, the face of a lion. Oh, my, my, my. When a lion roars, you remember the old MGM movies? And in the middle of that, he'd come on there roaring. Now they got that the one for kids, and it's just a little, like a kitty cat. Meow. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. That's what Jesus is called, Pastor. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Judah the praisers. Judah the worshipers. Judah, hallelujah. And that was Jesus Christ, the mighty one. I'll tell you when he roars. Now the Bible says, I know. You say, "Well, Papa, don't you know what the Bible says? That Satan, that arch deceiver, that liar, that cheat, that thief, the one who tells you lies all the time. Oh, you're not going to live, you're going to die. Oh, you're too sick for this. Or your business is going to fail. You're never going to make it. Keep listening to that old slewfoot. Yeah, but it says he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But honey, I got news for you. At Calvary, what's the big part of that lion? Those tremendously strong jaw teeth that he has. To be able to devour you, to be able to grasp you, and you'll not get away from those teeth and bite your arm off, whatever. But I'll tell you what happened. Hallelujah. Listen, at Calvary, Jesus pulled his teeth out. And all he can do is, but his bite doesn't exist anymore. Truthfully, he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than what? Than he that is in the world. Well, I'll tell you what. Here is the second one, the lion. The mighty lion of the tribe of Judah. And that lion represents Jesus Christ as the mighty baptizer in the Holy Spirit. The one who can overcome all the trials and tests. Now, what did Jesus leave with his disciples when he ascended up into heaven? In the book of Acts, and you don't have to turn there, in the first chapter, and he says in verse number 8, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. But what was the theme? You shall receive power. Everybody say power. Oh, that's a pretty weak. You're that little cat, not the lion. Come on, we're talking about a lion. You shall receive.
Power.
You shall receive.
Power.
Ah, you're sounding like lions now. Hallelujah. I love these young lions of Judah. I call these young men, and everywhere I go, young men and women, young lions of Judah. Why not? Because that's the pattern we're to follow. And so suddenly, God showed and said, not only is Jesus Christ the man, Christ Jesus, the Savior, by his precious blood, but now he's the mighty baptizer in the Holy Spirit, the one who is coming. He said, when John said, look, I'm baptizing you in water here, but the one that's coming over there, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. He said, when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Wow. So suddenly comes the revelation. Well, that isn't being taught much, and we only heard about that in a little mission called Azusa Street, and that didn't last too long. And what about this Holy Ghost and fire? But he said, look, here's the lion that is strong, the lion that has strength, the lion that has power. So Jesus Christ suddenly is not just, look at over there, the Savior. Look at the next one, serve, Jesus Christ baptizer. The baptizer in the powerful and wonderful Holy Spirit. Oh, to be baptized. Years ago, Benny Hinn wrote that book, or he ghostwrote it, or somebody wrote it for him. I don't know how that goes. But anyhow, good morning, Holy Spirit. But you know what? I'm glad we can say good morning, Holy Spirit. I'm glad we can say, Holy Spirit, thank you for filling my life. I never heard of such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Traditional church like they were brought up in, and here I'm brought up in the church, never heard such a thing. Well, it was there. It was there all the time. And one day I went to one of those kind of meetings in that little white church. And they laid hands and prayed for me and said, you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, never heard of such a thing. I said, whether you heard of it or not, you're still going to get it. Well, I said, that's interesting. Get something you don't even know exists. I didn't receive, but I was hungry. You know what God looks for, children? Listen, I call you children because I'm an old man. What God looks for is a hungry heart. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what the scripture says. I'm on my way home from that little white church over there on the west side of Grand Rapids. And I'm on my way home, and they said, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh my, nothing happened to me. Maybe I'm too dense. Maybe I'm too religious in my traditional church. I don't know what I am, because I was going to that church. I probably was a step behind you. At least you said you were a charismatic. I didn't even never heard of the word charismatic. It probably would have been crazy manic if I'd have heard about it. I'm driving home. Suddenly in that old 37 Ford, it was hot summer in the month of June, and it was a heat wave, and the windows were cranked down, and it was about 9 o'clock at night, but daylight time, it stayed light quite late, and it was just still a little bit light, and suddenly I got lightheaded. Oh, I got dizzy. I thought, what's wrong with me? Here I am, and I'm woozy, and I'm 18 years old, and I'm trying to drive this car, and it's weaving. I said, oh boy, I better pull over to the curb, but I lost consciousness, and I jumped the curb, and I landed up on the, hang on to your seat, please. I landed up on the steps, the front, outside steps, not inside, the front step, the first step of the Polish Catholic Church. What a place to stop. On the front sidewalk of the Polish Catholic Church. And I'm coming to, and it was pitch dark out, and I come out of this so-called whatever. There's an old man rubbing my hand. He said, oh, son, we're glad you came out. I said, I called all the sisters, and they're out here praying. And here's all these Catholic nuns around my old 37 Ford, and they're praying. And earnestly, they were sincere. They were praying, and this old man was the custodian of the church. He said, you had an epileptic fit. And he said, you drove right on the steps, and you were unconscious, and you were speaking. What country are you from? We speak Polish, we speak Latin, and we speak English. But you were speaking in the most beautiful language. And you were talking about the marvelous works of God, and then you go into this strange language. And he said, what was happening? I knew what was happening. What they told me in that little white church, I was being baptized in the Holy Spirit, receiving a language I never understood. If you don't know what I'm talking about, stick around, you might learn. Hallelujah. But I don't have time to tell you more, except to say, on the steps of that church, I received the mighty infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spoken of there, Jesus Christ the baptizer, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And he's empowered me from that day to this to preach the gospel to the nations. The baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we got to hurry. The face of an ox. The face of an ox. Have you ever been to a nation where the ox, the water buffalo, the carabao in the Philippines is the beast of burden? Have you seen pictures of it in missionary stories or otherwise? We spent so many years, almost 40 years in the Philippine Islands, going back and forth and back and forth, and I'd watch those. They call them carabao, but it's the same breed of animal. The ox, the water buffalo, the carabao. They load them so high. Pastor Kirk, actually, if that animal was up here, they stand about yay high. They would load it all the way to as high as this ceiling. Burden on their back, and didn't bother them. They just shuffle along. The ox, the burden bearer, one who takes the yoke of what? Our infirmities. Look over here. Grow, Jesus Christ the healer, the burden bearer, the one who said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. And that healer has let me be alive to this day. I had a major attack. The ambulance was on the way. And suddenly in the front big picture window of our house, my boys were young. Came Jesus. Mama stood there. And Jesus said, I'm coming for you, son. Mama stood between me and Jesus. And you said, oh, she shouldn't have done that. Well, you wouldn't be listening to me this morning if she hadn't. She stood there and said, Jesus, wait just a minute. You gave us a promise that we were going to the nations of the world. We not only had it from the scripture, go there for teach all nations, but we had it by prophetic witness more than once. We haven't even been outside of the United States. You can't come yet. Otherwise, your word is not true. You know what? His word is always true, beloved. And when she held back Jesus, he said, I'll come later. He was gone. I survived. Went out to preach to the nations of the world. That's just like Jesus. Jesus Christ, the healer, hallelujah, the burden bearer, the one who carries our load, carries our infirmities, hallelujah. When the load gets, listen to me, beloved, when the load gets too much for you, more than you can bear, casting all your care upon him, the ox. Oh, my dude, I love that. Those burden bearers I've ridden on their backs. I've ridden in the ox carts. I've seen them carry the loads. And I said, it's just like my Jesus. There's not too much you can... Well, I don't want to bother the Lord with this little prayer. No, no. You don't bother the Lord with the littlest prayer or the greatest one. When we prayed this morning for our precious sister, who we've known and been a part, he's been a part of this, and we've known her for years beyond that, her and her beloved husband. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is able. More than able. Hallelujah. How many know that Jesus is more than able? Some of you do. Most of you do. You know why? Because you tried him and tested him. Amen. May I ask you a quick question before we pass on to the final one? Jesus Christ the healer, the burden bearer, the ox who carries the load. How many in your lifetime somewhere? I don't mean through Dr. Jones. I don't mean through CVS or Walgreens Pharmacy. But I mean from Jesus Christ himself, how many have ever been healed? Wow, Pastor, look around at all these hands. Many, many, many of you have received a healing miracle direct from the Lord Jesus himself, because he is the healer. Does he always heal direct? No. I've been healed through medicine, been healed when doctors have diagnosed something and said we found it and taken care of it. But hallelujah, most of the serious things in my life have been healed by Jesus. I was coming back from doing live broadcasting at the station. It was a dark, rainy night, Pastor. I crested over a hill, and there in the middle of the road, and I can't scream at the guy, because a farmer's big, massive tractor had stalled in the middle of the road, and he had ran quick to get a flare. But between the time he got the flare and the time that I crested the hill, there sat in the black darkness with the misty rain, this huge, massive tractor. I wasn't going very fast because it was only about a mile from the station. I hit my brakes, but because the road was slippery, plowed into that thing full blast. All I had time to say was one word, Jesus. I threw up my hands. The police were looking in the window, the state police. The car was mashed up and didn't have a little Fiat 500. If you drive one, fine, they're cute. I had a Buick Roadmaster. They were big and bulky in their day. And I plowed into that thing full blast. Guess where I was sitting when the police looked in and said who was driving? Because the steering wheel was completely into the front seat. I was sitting in the back seat behind the driver's seat, just looking, shaking myself a little bit, coming to. They said, who was driving? I said, I was alone in the car. I said, no, you're sitting in the back seat. You could not get out of that seat over into the back seat because the front seat is completely demolished from the steering wheel. Of course I couldn't. He's able. He's able. I know that he is able. Jesus Christ the healer. Oh, come on. If you don't believe in miracles this morning, I got time. I'm not in a hurry. Amen. I've fasted many a lunch to talk to people. If you don't believe in miracles, come and just ask me. Ask my wife. We've lived by miracles through the power of a living Christ. Isn't he wonderful? Would you give Jesus praise before we go to the last one? Hallelujah. He's worthy. That's how great our God is. Jesus Christ, Savior, Baptizer, Healer. Ah, but the one that's coming yet to come. Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. And what do you think he's represented by in that? Come on. The eagle. Oh, I wear around my neck, and my grandkids love it. People say, how come you got that gold eagle? Well, I'll tell you. It's Isaiah 40:31. Any old person here kind of know Isaiah 40:31? The older we get, we like it more and more. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's why I wear the eagle, because people ask me all the time. I say, what does it represent? Eagle's Lodge? Some airline? I said, no, it represents the Holy Bible. Oh, how come? I said, the book of Isaiah prophecy says that when you get old like me, you're going to mount up on eagle's wings. Oh, hallelujah. The final one, Jesus Christ, soon coming king, is represented by the eagle. The mighty eagle, hallelujah. Now, one thing I love about the eagle, if you study a little bit, and my time is slipping, but listen. Eagles don't do this. Oh, I'm getting so tired of trying to make a living. I'm getting so tired of trying to exist. What do eagles do? One four-letter word, S-O-A-R, soar. They simply go like this and are caught on the winds of the Spirit. The winds of the Spirit. Eagles soar. This is how God wants His children. May I challenge you in the closing moments of this wonderful Sunday morning at the Fellowship here at Weatherford. May I challenge you, learn to soar on the wings of the eagle. Because the eagle represents our Lord Jesus, who one of these days, whether many people believe it or not, is coming back. I may be too old to see it face to face, but doesn't mean I don't believe it. Because some of these young people are going to see it. Oh, hallelujah. The eagle. The four faces that represented Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That vision caused this movement to be birthed, and it has been birthed all over the world, and others have taken the same four precepts, Pastor Kirk, and have used them to represent this same wonderful Jesus, because they represent also the four points of the cross. Hallelujah. That our Jesus, whom I've preached so many years and honored to preach Him, and sometimes not worthy to preach Him, but honored to preach Him. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Behold the man. Behold the man. Behold the man, Christ Jesus, Savior, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, mighty healer, soon coming King. So you ask me, Papa, as you close, you talked about Sister Amy, the founder of Foursquare. You talked about her. Ha ha. I got this flyer. I love it. I hang on to it. I got it maybe the last time or the time before when I was here. A real church for real people. That's where we are now. Pinch your neighbor a little bit or poke them and say, are you real? If you pinch them hard enough, you'll know they're real. Yeah. Pastor Kirk, thank you. I love you. You and Karen have meant to us. We have used your testimony as students at Concordia and Ann Arbor, and how God miraculously brought you into the fullness of Jesus Christ and the fullness of the gospel. Not with fighting, not with arguing. That isn't the way it works. With the love of Jesus. You know what? You can win a lot more people with sugar than you can with vinegar. Come on. Join somebody's hand with yours, sitting beside him. We're praying together as a body. Cross the aisle if you can reach. If you can't, it's all right. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. As Pastor Kirk gets ready to come, Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Tell him how much you love him with me, please. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for the love of God that's greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. We thank you this morning that we have laid the foundation one more time upon which we are built. Built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The apostles and prophets and the Word of God and Jesus Christ Himself. Himself, the man Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Thank you. You are our foundation. Upon you we live and move and have our being. In you we are saved and healed and baptized and delivered and looking forward to an eternal life with you, Lord. How wonderful to be among these precious people here in Weatherford. Just one more time, because we know that maybe for Mama Dawn and I, and heading to our upper 80s now, the trumpet could sound any time. We thank you we're ready. But I ask that everyone in this building would be ready. Lord, I don't know all these people. If they're visiting today and say, I'd like to know more about this Jesus, oh, please, before they go out, let them inquire. Let them find. Let them seek. Let them know. All these wonderful young people, and I do love young people. We've given our lives all over the world with young people, teaching them, training them, raising them up. Thank you for them. Thank you that the fellowship here at Weatherford has all these precious young people, not only just in the front row, but throughout the congregation. The church that's going to keep keeping on. Oh, we love you, Jesus, and we give you praise, and we give you worship. In Jesus' name, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you. Can we give the Lord praise and just thanks to Brother Dorn? Yeah, I'll put that up here when we close. Yeah. We're going to do this to close. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up just for one song. And I just want to give you this invitation. Would everyone stand with me? And this publication that he had referenced, we're going to put right up here if you'd like to come look at it afterwards. One thing that I've realized over the years, and it's kind of becoming more comfortable for me the older that I get, is that this whole thing that he talked about this morning is not, it's not birthed out of emotion. And it's not birthed out of creating a moment and then trying to get people to respond in that moment. It's birthed by a decision. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And you know what? That knock can be for salvation for you this morning.
Yes.
That knock can be for the fullness of the Spirit for you this morning. That knock can be for healing for you this morning. That knock can be just for the assurance of knowing that even though the world's going crazy, we got a Jesus who's coming back and an eternal kingdom and reward. Whatever that knock is, it's the same way you answer it. If you open the door, he said, "I will come in and I will sup with you and you with me." It's always just a decision of giving your life for salvation, for the baptism of the Spirit, for healing, for assurance. Think about that as we sing this song, and then we'll close and dismiss you. And the chicken's still okay.
I will pray.
Close your eyes for a moment. I just want you to listen. What is the Lord knocking on your heart for this morning? Listen. On the outside of that door that he knocks, there's not a doorknob. There's only not one knob, and it's on the inside that you have your hand upon.
That's right.
He never forces the door down. He never breaks it down. He only comes with an invitation. Altar prayer team members that are here, come forward. I'm going to dismiss you, but here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. I'm going to stay up front. We're going to have prayer teams up here. Another brother, Dorn, is going to be here. If there is a knock that you are answering this morning, if it's a knock to receive Jesus as your Savior, if you want to have hands laid upon you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want to be anointed with oil and prayed over for healing, if you just want to receive just a new infilling of hope, and peace and joy this morning, there's going to be someone here to pray for you and agree with you as you open that door and just invite Jesus in. And he's going to meet you. And as you go through this week and you begin to live a life that is led by that man, the man Christ Jesus, empowered by that man,
yes,
directed and infused by the love of that man, and when you begin to praise him, when you begin to worship him, when you begin to live through the word of God and by faith in God, then you're going to find that demons tremble. That mountains crumble. That opportunities are birthed and become real within your life. Because the man Christ Jesus now is the Lord Christ Jesus within you. So, Lord, do that work in our lives. Thank you for that word. Jesus, our Savior, our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, our healer, our soon coming King, come and meet our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Now receive the blessing of the Lord, and then the altars will be open for prayer. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. He looks upon you with favor and grants you his peace. Bless your people now. Thank you for this wonderful morning. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed in the Lord. But if you need prayer, come forward now in Jesus' name. God bless you. Hallelujah.